I'm Austin Lugo.
I'm Andrew Harp.
This is With Nothing to Say.
Let's talk about Heaven Knows What.
I put on my watch list and they immediately... I don't know why I did this.
Camera buff.
Yes, camera buff. Before we get into this week's film, next week we're going to be watching... How do you say his name?
Kieslowski.
Kieslowski? Kieslowski? How do you say his first name?
I don't know.
Very
best.
Okay. Kristoff? Oh, maybe it's just Krzysztof? We're going to watch a Kieslowski film. We're going to watch Camera Buff. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I've only seen three of his films, which, of course, are the three colors, blue, red, and white. Yep. I've seen his films multiple times because I was required to watch them when I was at film school. Then I was required to watch them again when I was at Butler. And then I
That's
also
interesting.
watched them a third time for some reason. I must have watched it in between those two times. I'm not really sure what the third time was about, but those are films that sort of are part of the academic cinema vocabulary. They're almost like the Lord of the Flies, Kill the Mockingbird of the
They're
film
good
school
though.
world.
They're
People
good though.
love to show them in their film classes. I think even Brandon, he's taking a film class right now. I'm pretty sure he's watching Three Colors Blue. It's always blue, I notice. It's never
Blue is
red
good.
or white.
Blue is probably his most famous movie of all of his movies. But I love that one. Actually, that one's probably my favorite. Well, blue and red are equally good, I think. Probably.
Yeah. They're definitely films that are part of the mecca of cinema and films I'm very familiar with. So I am excited to watch more of his work because even though I've seen those films many times, I've never seen any of his other work. I just never really got around to it. So this will be a great excuse to watch those. But this week,
I agree. Yep.
we got to watch a Safdie film, which I was very excited about.
Yeah.
It was very hard for me to find the time to watch it because this last week's just been a bit hectic. I have observations going on and school's been a lot lately. So I watched it on Friday at school after the kids had left, of course. But I had to be very
You watched on your
careful.
projector?
I did not.
Yeah.
Because I knew what this one was about, and there's a lot of cursing and drug use, so I was very cautious in my watching of it. Close the
Did
door.
you watch it like on a laptop or something?
I did. I watched
This is
the
like the
first half
perfect
on the
movie.
laptop.
This is like the perfect movie to watch on a laptop.
It honestly is.
It kind of adds. It would probably add to the experience.
It made for an even better experience. I know lately we've been talking about how important the cinema experience is, and of course this
Yeah.
would be fun to see in the cinema, but. There really is something weirdly satisfying about watching this film on a computer. And I think that has something to do with the way the Safdie brothers make films. There's this weird amateurish quality to it, purposeful amateurish quality, not as in they don't know what they're doing, but rather everything feels as if it's just caught in the moment, it just ad-libbed.
Yeah.
Every little movement and of course it's not because there's so much that has to go into these kinds of things. Not to say that they aren't utilizing ad lib in this piece. I'm sure they utilize quite a bit of ad lib in this because there's just so many different things happening simultaneously. And part of me really wishes I could show this film to my creative writing kids because I just got a new group of creative writing kids this last week, the week before the last, I suppose. And one of the things that this group of writers is specifically struggling with is creating conflict and stakes. I mean, they're incredible writers, as all of my students are, but they'll write an entire plot where nothing really happens. And what's great about this film is every single moment is a fight. I mean, there's always a fight, even if there isn't any real overarching
Well, I
story.
was gonna say, like you know how like we'll watch a movie and like it's like a movie would be like a series of like conversations or something like that. This is like a series of like confrontations. Like every conversation is like a fight.
I love it, and it works perfectly for this film because it creates that sense of tension and that classic Safdie anxiety. I mean, there's got to be something wrong with these two men. I hope they're okay because every film of theirs I've seen, which I've seen a couple now, they're so anxious. Their films are just
Yeah, they're
full
crazy.
of anxiety,
They
and you've seen
they're
pretty
from
much
New York. They're
everything.
from New York City, you know, and you know, they had like a very tumultuous relationship with their parents, especially their dad, which you can see in Daddy Long Legs. That's kind of what that movie is about, and that movie preempts this one. And that one's also like that one's like I said earlier to you, like it's about like a very a struggling father, and it's very kind of also, you know, difficult to watch sometimes.
We start this film really fast, and it does not slow down at any moment. I mean, the pacing of this film and every Safdie brother film I've seen, which is this one, Good Time, and Uncut Gems, it just is at this breakneck speed that never lets up. And those opening moments, which is this great juxtaposition of
Yeah, the opening was great. Yeah. Jesus.
Ilya, I don't know if his name's Ilya or Iliad, Ilya, whatever
No, it's
his name
Ilya.
is.
They say
It's
his name
Ilya.
like 200
They
times in
say
the
it
movie.
so many times. I just want
It's
to make sure I get it
Ilya.
right.
Yeah.
And I don't remember her name. I literally just finished this movie.
Harley.
Maybe an hour. Harley. Harley? Or is it Arlie? Harley?
Arlie? What are you talking?
Arlie?
It's Harley with an H,
Okay.
yeah.
Well, I have
Arlie.
a kid named Arlie, so
Oh,
don't.
really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
That's fair enough.
got some cool names in Dayton. A lot of weird names, but there's this great juxtaposition of them making love, and then you start to hear her crying. And of course, the sound design is actually done by Benny Sadke. He
Benny,
actually does the
yeah, it's like Benny
recording.
and some other guy, yeah.
Yeah, I guess there's some other guy there too. But the point is that they care a lot about sound design, and that's something that is a big part of the type of films that they make. And particularly in this film, sound sort of is the thing that takes us from point A to point B. It's a transition a lot of the times between one scene and another, which you need in a film like this, where it can feel as if there's just a bunch of moments sort of smushed together. And the connections, the tendons aren't necessarily as taut as some of the other work. I mean, this certainly isn't something like the last couple of films we watched, which are big studio films in which every little second is crafted. This is much more loose and flowing. And so when you have that opening where they are making love and you start to hear the crying in the background and then cut to her
Yeah, she's like,
just sobbing,
she's bawling, yeah.
it's a great moment, and it's the perfect
It
premise.
jostles you so,
It
it
does.
jostles you really badly. Yeah, it's like, oh.
You're
And it just like goes
immediately
downhill.
thrown to an
And the whole
uncut.
movie just like, it just like, it, the movie, like, it's just a, the whole movie is just kind of like, you immediately are going downhill and it never stops going downhill. Like, it just keeps going and going and going and going
Just gets worse.
downhill. Yeah, there's no uplift. There's no I don't know. There's not really any kind of like there's no hope really.
No, there's no light at the end of this tunnel. There is nothing
No.
that they are shooting for. There is nothing that they're hoping to get out of this. Emily came in during the second half of the show because I watched the second half this morning, and she was enjoying it, which is it's nice to see Emily enjoying a film because getting Emily to enjoy a film is a lot. And she's someone who loves these sort of intervention type shows. I think
Sure,
one was
yeah.
actually called Interventions, and she's fascinated by people abusing drugs for whatever reason, and this terrible cycle that these people go through. And she fell asleep when there's like 10 minutes left in the film, and so she wakes up after the film. She goes, "Did they end up going to rehab?" And I go, "No,
No,
that was not meant.
not at all, no.
Considered
And
this."
you know, the movie, by the way, it's worth noting, you know, the movie stars Ariel Holmes, who plays Harley, who's a homeless heroin addict in New York City. It's about homeless heroin addicts in New York City is basically what the movie's about. And it's based off an unpublished like memoir that she wrote
Okay.
about her own life. And Josh Safdie, I think, befriended her, knew her, and encouraged her to write about her life. And then they took that book and they adapted it into this movie. So she plays like herself, like in the memoir. So it's like really weird.
That's cool. Yeah, so there's this weird fourth wall thing.
Where she's like playing herself. And I don't think she was clean at this point. Like, I don't think it was like, I don't think she was like necessarily like clean from drugs, like while she was making this movie, right? Like,
Wow. Is she
so I
okay
mean,
now? Is she
I
okay?
have no idea. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe.
I hope you're okay. We all hope. Okay.
Yeah, I don't really know. I think she's been like in other movies
Okay.
since then. And I think she had, I think she did go to therapy, rehab.
Rehab.
So I think she's, I mean, I don't know what she's doing, you know what, but whatever. But she's really good in the movie for the most part. I mean, there is kind of like an amateur quality to her and like other performances. The one performance that is very astutely actory is, of course, Caleb Landry Jones,
Yeah.
who is like, you know, he's been in some big movies. Big stuff. And he needs to go to jail because he is the creepiest looking guy, like working today, like in movies and stuff. Like, he is just so off-putting.
Have a student who looks almost just like him. I mean, a disturbingly
Why does he
similar.
look like that?
I don't. But there is almost this neorealist quality to the piece, as if we've just picked people off the street. And even though this is the third feature by the Safdie brothers by this point, it still feels very, and I'm sure it is, very independent. And I don't know if low budget's necessarily the right word here, because that makes it sound as if it's cheap. And I don't think that's exactly what I want, but it's definitely off the cuff. I mean, they definitely stole a lot of these shots, mostly shots. If you ever look in the background.
It's just them walking around like parks and streets in New York City and
Yeah.
filming inside of like fast food restaurants most of the time. They're in apartments, they're on the street, they're at a library, they're at like McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts. Like, they're just
Is
like
that the
in
same
like,
psych ward that they use in Good Time? Because it looks exactly the same.
I wonder if it is the same location.
It's gotta
I mean,
be.
in Good Time, it's not really a psych ward. It's more like
No, but it's
like an adult
the same
daycare. But
location. Yeah.
yeah, I wonder if it's the same. That I, you know, that's a good point. I wonder if it is the same like place like in New York City where they shot that part. Yeah, that the psych ward part where it plays during the credits and it's just playing the
Oh,
music.
those opening
That's
credits are
crazy.
incredible.
That's so amazing. You know, and I think I prefer the I don't know how you feel, but I think I like the OPN music more in the subsequent movies than the music in this one. I think the music in this movie is Ariel Pink and Paul Grimstad, who Grimstad has did like the music for The Sweeties, and this is like
Right.
pre-cancellation Ariel Pink. I don't know how what you prefer. I don't know if you like OPN more than Paul and Ariel, or I don't know. I kind of like Heaven Knows What. Like, the music in Heaven Knows What is like a little bit more dark, like a little bit more subterranean.
Yes.
While OPN music, I think, does a lot in Good Time and Uncut Gems to really kind of heighten the kind of like minute by minute, like, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to, like, the core of the like anxiety, I would say, of both those movies. Yeah.
I think it 100% works in this film, and I don't know if the OPN work of the later films would work necessarily as well with this, even though I like the music in those better, particularly Good Time. I love
Yeah, the music in Good Time is really fucking awesome.
the music in Good Time is incredible. And I think part of it is it this the music in here is so off-putting, not in a
Yeah, it
bad way,
can
not
be.
as if they're failing in any sort of way, but it just makes me so uncomfortable that I would never listen to this music outside of this
The
film.
movie's gross, the music is gross, like you're in these gross locations, like you feel unshowered like when you're watching the movie, because
So
everybody,
unclean.
because people in the movie look convincingly unshowered.
They look disgusting. Everyone in it looks
Yeah.
absolutely disgusting. And it's great. It's perfect. I love it. So gritty and grounded, and coming after watching so many Last couple of films that are big budget, very clean, very polished, coming to something like this that is just
Yeah.
the opposite of that. That is clearly
It's
just
very convincing.
people grabbing some cameras and just figuring their shit out. And of course, the Safdie brothers love to do the long lens shots where we follow someone for long periods of time, and
Yeah.
also a very shallow focus, which is such a uncomfortable place to be because the world just seems to be moving by at this hectic pace while simultaneously you can feel how far away you are. And of course, they do this in all of their films, but I think it works particularly well in this. And I think this is part of the reason why this film works so well, is there's this sense of paranoia from the way that's filmed, from the cinematography itself, because so many of the Safdie brothers films are shot as if you are spying on these people, not even as if it was shots of documentary.
Well,
I mean, it...
especially when they're like walking around on the streets, it feels like you're like right across the street and you can see them fighting.
Yeah, and it feels like you've walked in on a conversation that you don't want to be a
Yeah.
part of. I mean, you feel as if you are in New York City and you are seeing this from the distance and you can't
Right.
help but watch it. You don't want to. You want to be as far away as possible, and yet you can't help but watch it. And it works so well here because
Yeah.
you get that paranoia that they are constantly feeling from the use of heroin and trying to figure out, where am I going to get my next hit? How am I going to get the money for this? How am I
Yeah,
going to do that?
that's just pretty much the whole movie basically is just like, yeah, Air is just Harley who, for with Harley, even though she's our main character, you don't get like a lot of her background. There's never a moment where she's like, I'm from here and I used to do
No.
this and da 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 and like I remember like there's really like no explanation as to
For any of them.
her yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like no one has any like any a backstory really.
No.
But with Harley, I think that they do a good job at least like, you just feel like shit about her. You just feel so bad, because she's like, there's nothing really like, she's kind of like this. You could, she's kind of like this like pure soul that's been sort of like ruined by this endless cycle, like you said, of like getting money for like basic necessities like food, right? And maybe like something to drink, and then, but then like spending the rest of it. Or, like just pretty much just like just worrying about like money and drugs, like because they don't have homes, they don't have jobs or anything like that. So they're just like busking and they are stealing stuff too. And that's pretty much the movie is just everybody like people being worried about like money and then drugs and then not having enough drugs and then being worried about each other. And like you said, like being paranoid of each other, right? Because like with drug, like if you're like a junkie and you're hanging out with other junkies, it's like, like and they're sharing going on, there might be issues about like, well, so and so like stole this or stole that, and there's that paranoia aspect, and that stuff is probably not good.
It is a vicious film in which this endless cycle cannot be escaped because they are the very cause of the thing that creates such this pain. But then the only way to escape that pain is through drug use, right? They're put in a place in which they are homeless, their lives suck, they don't have jobs, their lives are miserable. And so to escape this misery, they do drugs. But then
But then it
because they do
drains
the
all their money.
drugs,
Yeah.
they need money. And then they go through this endless cycle of begging for money, not spending their money in
Ruining
as
relationships with
ruining
friends and family.
relationships with everyone that they know. I mean,
Yeah.
every relationship in here is just a terrible, toxic, hideous relationship. I mean, just full of terrible people. Even if you think of someone like the old lady whose house she lives in, which I don't know if there's supposed to be a relationship, like if that's supposed to be a family member or it's just an
I don't
old
know if
lady.
it's like Mike's like maybe like a relative of Mike's or something like that.
Yeah, it
I forget.
feels somehow related to them, but it's never mentioned. And it's not that that really matters, but even she herself is an enabler. I mean, she sees these things going on and doesn't do anything to stop the drug use.
She's
And
trying to help him, like she's being very charitable.
Yeah, and we think that's the nice thing to do, but actually, when you do that, you become an enabler and you enable a drug habit and allow the drug habit to continue. So she ends up being no
I
better than
guess.
anyone else. Well,
Well, I
it's.
guess. Like, I mean,
Oh,
like.
that's. I have watched a lot of interventionists, Andrew. I am a master of watching people go through drug use. And.
Yes, I forgot you were a doctor.
I...
I understand, like, the enabling thing is just like it's easier said than done, I think.
Absolutely. I'm not saying I would do
'Cause,
anything different in that situation. This is not to say
yeah.
I'm very lucky that no one in my family abuses heroin or these types of drugs in that way. And I'm sure if my own child or family member was in this situation, I would want to help them as best as I could
Yeah,
and do
yeah.
things that I think are best for them.
Mm-hmm.
But the irony of that is, of course, a lot of times that ends up allowing them to sort of go deeper into this habit and hurt themselves even more. So it's, I'm not saying that I'm any better,
Yeah. No, yeah.
but there's flaws in all of our characters here. I mean, they're all
Yeah.
terrible people in their own special and individual
I
way.
suppose so. Yeah. Yeah, no one does anything like I guess like
Not evil, I wouldn't say.
I'm trying to think of anything to do that's like super duper terrible or something like that. They do things that are
Budget.
scary. That like
Yeah.
when she cuts herself at the
Oh
beginning,
my
that is
God.
like when she does it and then the music comes in and then everybody starts
Oh.
yelling and then the camera is getting like really close to everybody. That's upsetting.
That moment is, and you know she's gonna do it because from the very beginning she goes into the library. Great moment
Yeah.
having that
Yeah, where she
argument in
goes
the
into by the
library.
yeah, she they
Brilliant.
argue in the library. He's like listening to black metal or something like that. I love like the references to black metal. Like she's like listening to like the Burzum album at the library. She has the Burzum album cover like on her phone. Like she just really likes black metal. Because I think like the Ilya guy does likes it a lot or something, so her boyfriend. So
Yeah,
yeah,
and
that's
that's
funny.
quite a toxic relationship. I mean, he's a, I guess if there were any terrible people, it would be him. He's
Which I guess that guy was a real guy. Like a re she like Ariel, I think did really have like that was like a real boyfriend that she had that did die of like an
wow.
overdose.
That is absolutely wild. And of course, he's pushing her on to do it. And you see her ask
Right,
for
yeah.
money, and you're like, oh shit, I know what's going to happen. And it just keeps
She's gonna
going. And
do
you
it.
see her by the razor blade. She's like, oh shit, I know what's going to happen. And this whole time in your head, you
She's like,
know
I'm gonna
it.
do it.
And she keeps going, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And as the viewer, you're like, she's going to fucking do it, right? She's crazy enough that
Well,
she's going to.
no, I guess I feel the opposite. I feel like she's not gonna do it. I feel like for like I don't know. I feel like the whole thing of like buying razor blades and saying like I'm gonna do it. Part of me as a viewer is just like she's not gonna do it. Like you're kind of like I guess in disbelief. Like she's not gonna like what she's gonna do right here in the library. She's gonna do it outside in the park. So when she does do it, like I'm
Nothing
even
is enough.
more shocked and dismayed.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're talking about.
But whether you think she's gonna do it or not, that moment is so,
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah.
I mean, it makes you flinch. You can't help but just
Yeah.
be disgusted by it. And I love that Ilya immediately regrets his decision. He's like, oh shit.
He's like, no. Yeah, he like freaks
Because
out.
he
He's like,
never
what are
thought
you
she would do it.
doing?
He keeps egging her
Well,
on
I
because he's like,
guess
you
so.
won't do
Yeah.
it. You won't do it.
Yeah.
And then she fucking does it. She,
Yeah.
I mean, just rips her wrist open. And then everyone freaks out. They're like, oh shit, what do
They're like running away and stuff. Like
we
it's kind of like it's a little like yeah funny but yeah and then yeah she's in the psych ward and
with those
everything and
opening credits? True.
the great yeah that stuff is really good and yeah and again like the rest of the movie is just again just kind of like this as we discussed a cycle of wanting to get high and needing money to do this or that and and of course she meets up with Mike played by Buddy Duress, who's also in he's in Good Time. He's a really great actor, by the way. He's just a very him and Caleb Landry Jones are like the actors of the movie, like the actual actors who are like in the movie. They're very, very good. And I like Buddy Duress in it as Mike is a really good character. He's a drug dealer junkie who at least a couple times in the movie tries to, I guess, like even though he's a drug dealer and a junkie, he's trying to be like a positive, like a positive role model for Harley,
Yeah.
but it's like completely ineffective. He's like a very like New York guy too. He's got the New York accent and everything. And so he's a great character because he's just kind of like a very he's very contradicting. He's kind of like a walking contradiction, right? Like he's just like, again, he's trying to do these things where he's like, you know, you need to like, it's mostly about like her boyfriend. It's mostly about Ilya, about how like she needs to like get away from him. You know, he's like a bad influence and stuff like that, as if Mike is a better influence. Not really. I mean, I guess like he's not like
Well, he
telling
seems to
her
be more
to,
into
he's a little
alcohol.
bit nicer.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's nicer. He doesn't seem to be as much
No, he
into.
does heroin,
Does he?
right? He does like opiates and heroin, and they all drink. They all love drinking
They
too,
all drink, yeah.
because it's cheap. You can buy it anywhere. They like get drunk in the park. That's a good scene.
Every one of those junkies just, they look like a junkie. They did a very good job
Well, they
of.
got Ariel Pink there. Ariel Pink was there. He looks like one.
It's fascinating when you think about this film, looking back on it, that there really is no plot necessarily. It's mostly just her walking around, getting in fights for 90
About
minutes,
drugs and stuff, pretty
and then
much
doing
getting in
drugs.
fights with her boyfriend and yeah, doing drugs and stuff like and things like that. That might be one of my problems with, might be one problem I have with the movie is that like I kind of wish there was maybe like a little bit more tension going on in terms of like it would, I think maybe there should have been a scene of maybe someone getting arrested. There wasn't anything like that in the movie, I feel like. Not to say that it needed to be in there. And maybe her book, her story, she never knew anyone that got arrested, or maybe she never got arrested, right? For the most part. So I don't know. It's still, you know, it's like in Good Time and in Uncut Gems, you know, the police are involved,
Well, I think,
criminal, like, yeah.
yeah, I think part of the reason those two films work so well, too. Is because from the very beginning of those films, they present a premise, and then the entire film is them trying to solve that problem. I mean, the entire film is in Good Time, right? Very specifically, he's got to save his brother. So the entire film was about him trying to get away from the police and save his brother. And Uncut Gems, it's all about selling these gems or like getting this money to pay back this person. There's this thing that pushes the entire piece forward. And the problem with this film here is that there really isn't nothing pushing them forward. There's no goal for any of our characters here. There's no goal for Harley. It's just she's in the cycle. And I recognize that that's sort of the idea of the piece, is that when you are part of this, there's nowhere to go. There is no hope. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. So it's to create
Yeah.
this feeling and anxiety that we're just going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, which is why you have so many scenes that
Yeah.
repeat themselves.
No,
It looks so
it's
similar to
probably
Us.
very true to life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And
But
just
it
like
does
just so
make
much
for a
walking, you
challenging
know.
film.
They don't have cars, they don't have bikes, they don't have
No.
I don't even, I guess they don't have enough money to get Metro cards, right? Because they bum rides
They
off
ask
of people
for
with Metro cards. Like they don't, so
bus.
they don't even have like Metro cards to be able to take the bus properly or, you know, the train. So yeah, they have to like bum rides off of like people's Metro cards. And I can't think of them. I guess they ride the bus. Well, I guess at the end they ride
At
the
the
bus to
end, because they
Florida.
sell
But
all
like
those 5-hour energies.
I think maybe they like ride the bus in the city maybe once or twice in it. But for the most part, again, for the most part, it's them kind of like walking around, going like back and forth across the city to try to like get drugs, get money, figure this or that out. And Mikey's really nice, you know. He's like, for $15 a day, right, is what he said. For $15 a day, you can stay with me at this apartment that I'm living, because I'm putting in $15. You need to put in $15, and it seems like immediately Harley is like, yeah, I'll do it, but immediately it she cannot get the
And he warns
funds each
her.
day.
He
Yeah.
knows what's going to happen. He says, "I'm not going to carry you on this. You have to pay your half. When tomorrow comes, you got to pay your $15." She's like, "Yeah, I'm going to pay it." And of course, the moment she gets $20, the moment she gets any sort of money, she immediately spends it on alcohol.
Yeah.
Like, does
And
not
she can't
even
help. She just can't
hesitate.
help herself, right? Like,
No.
yeah, she can't help herself. And, you know, it's sad. And, it's like a good deal. You know, it's only $15 a day, right? Like, so you just probably, you know, busk early in the morning. And then at night, you can, you know, go to sleep in a warm apartment. And then, you know, and then Mike, you know, he's nice. He'll be like, you know, here's some, you know, here's a what do they call them, bags, right? Like, the four, I think it's like
Bags.
a bag of like heroin or something. Like, they're like in these like little bags or whatever.
We're not
There's
here on
that crate. Yeah,
that.
there's that one really great part of the movie. I love that part of the movie where, and it's just kind of like, it's so it feels so like inconsequential and weird and kind of like weird. It feels very like unglamorous even among like movies about like heroin addiction and stuff like that. But like that part where she is trying to rationalize him about getting the
The
four
four
bags
bags.
of heroin right away instead of getting two later, because she's like, give me four bags tonight and then give me four and give me no give me two here, I will get you the money, just give me two bags tonight and then two in the
Yes.
morning and I'll have the money like right like within like a day or something like that.
By
And he's
10
like,
a.m.
okay, he's like, okay, I will. And she like starts to do the heroin and stuff and she's like, all right, can I just have the other two bags now? Like she's like kind of like rationalize. It's like she's just like she can't. She's like, I don't want to wait. I just want it now. Like I know we talked about like me having it later. Fuck that. I want it now.
And that's a great next shot because he eventually, which is a great, it's such a stupid argument, but it works so well. Because the argument
It's
is
great.
just if she should have the other two bags an hour later, and they bring someone else in, and she's like,
Yeah,
okay, two
they
bags now, right? And you say you're
yeah.
gonna give me two bags in the morning. Does it
Everybody's like
matter?
talking over each other, yeah. But it's just kind of like the rationalization thing, right? Of like
Absolutely.
of like an addict of like I could just get it now, right? Like what
And you
fuck
immediately see the
waiting.
consequences in the very next scene because she
Right.
clearly wants a hit and he is doing his heroin thing and he closes the door on her.
Yeah.
And I don't think, does Mike ever get any of his money? Like any of it? Does he ever get $15? I don't think he does.
No, he's a drug dealer, by the way, in case that
Yes.
wasn't. Yeah, he's a drug dealer. I like that other scene too, where he's like buying something from the
The
motorcycle guy.
motorcycle
That's
guy.
another scene where it's just kind of like that seems funny just because like I don't know, that's there's something kind of like weirdly like funny and playful about the scene. Like it doesn't really have anything to do with like it's
No.
not a very like it should be a very anxious scene because it's like because like Mike leaves to go get more money and you're just like, oh no, is he not going to give him the money? And like, and then while he's gone, Harley and the motorcycle guy, they have like a conversation about the motorcycle and then he does some tricks and then he comes back with the money. Like it was fine. And then Harley and the motorcycle guy like go on a ride and Mike's like, okay, whatever. Like he's like a little, like he's like a bit pissed off. And
Yeah.
that's a scene. Like it's a very like random scene, like in it, but there's something kind of like funny and playful about it. It's kind of, it's a little, outside of, it kind of reminds me of like something in Daddy Long Legs and stuff. Like Daddy Long Legs is a little bit more fun and playful. It has some more like funny and playful stuff in it. And that scene kind of reminded me of Daddy Long Legs. But I feel like after Heaven Knows What, that those scenes are kind of disappear in Good Time, especially. And then Uncut Gems for the most part. There's some like fun stuff in Uncut Gems where like, you know, like Adam Sandler, he's like partying with Megan Fox or whatever. Or what's her name? Not Megan Fox.
Megan Fox. I
The
can't.
her his girlfriend, Adam Sandler's
Yeah.
girlfriend in Uncut Gems. But for the most part, those two movies are just very like intense and anxiety inducing. But yeah, it's just kind of like a weird, funny scene to kind of like throw in there because it's not like it leads to anything in particular. It's just maybe something that actually happened to her.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about this film, which I know it's based off of a memoir, so true to life or what have you, but it definitely feels at times as if they just were on set and they're like, okay, we got to write a scene today. And then they just sit down, they write a scene, they shoot it, and then they
Yeah,
come
yeah.
day and do the same thing, which it works definitely in this film. And but sometimes it feels a bit jumbled, or how does this connect to this part of the film or that part of the film? It
Right.
feels
Because it doesn't, it's just like a
completely.
real life thing.
Yeah, it it's just a series of scenes that don't ever go anywhere necessarily, but it works because that's what this film is about. It's about
And that's
the
what life, that's what life is all about. Like most things don't really accumulate into any big, huge moments, you know, it's just kind of what you're kind of drifting around.
It's subverting our expectations, Andrew.
I guess so. I mean, I wouldn't say that. I would just say like, I don't know.
it's
It's
taking
yeah.
this idea that no matter what you do, you are doomed to just repeat the same thing. When you are in this addiction, repeat the same thing over and over
Right.
again. And so all of these scenes, I mean, they some of them are almost exactly the same as scenes before them, particularly that love scene that they do at the very beginning and they do towards
Right,
the end
yeah.
of the film is almost exactly the
They're
same.
like rolling on the ground. They're just like rolling on top of each other on the ground.
It's the least sexiest love scene I've probably ever seen in my life. It is
You're always
so
concerned about like sexiness
horrible.
of love scenes. I don't
I
understand.
am. I don't know why. I don't know why
I
this
don't really think about it like that.
so
It's just the
weird.
it's just like two homeless junkies rolling on top of each other in New York City. There's something like they like it. They love each other. They really do. I think at
I
least like the movie does
guess.
kind of. I mean, they love each other in that they. It's the their level of love for each other is that like yeah, she would like cut herself for him. He would they steal together. They like they steal things. You know, she's willing to leave the comfort of Mike's care in order to be with him. You know, they're both willing to do crazy things for each other. But then they also hurt each other really bad, right? Like when they're on the
No
bus and
shit.
he leaves for no reason, like all this, like, yeah, like it's just like the, it's, they love each other, but it's like, it's so destructive.
Yeah, that moment when he gets off the bus.
Like for no reason, like there's never like,
No reason. There's no logic to it.
he's
Not
just
like
like, I
there's
don't
any
want to,
logic to any of this. I mean,
he's
not
just
like
like,
there's
I
a
want to go
logic.
back. He's like, I just want to go back to my room now, I think.
He's just over. Not no reason why they go to Florida either. That completely
That reminds me of like Midnight
clear.
Cowboy when they decide to go to Florida.
What's that?
That reminds me of Midnight Cowboy when they decide to go to
Oh,
Florida.
yeah.
They actually do make it, but yeah, well, one of them does, but yeah.
Yeah. It's so intense to watch that next scene after he gets off the bus and you see him light his cigarette. And you know what's going to happen the moment he lays down in that mattress. Nice cigar, or at least I got the idea. I caught on what was gonna happen, and of course, with the candles and the cigarettes, and you see the fire start, and you're like, "Oh shit!" And
William,
then what
when
I
it
didn't
falls, they're just
expect is
like, no.
they fucking light a guy on fire
They do. They light
for
a
this
motherfucker on
movie.
fire. Yeah, that's pretty
It's
crazy. Yeah.
like their entire
Yeah.
special effects budget. I mean, I know it. They actually light a guy on fire, so it's
You can tell, yeah, it's like a guy
amazing.
like on fire and
They
he's like going crazy and stuff.
put
It's
a
like
guy
his
in one of
room.
those
It's like
suits.
his fucked up like den or whatever, like in some abandoned house or something like that. Like literally, he was just like, I don't want to go to Florida anymore. I just want to go back to my room. So I'm gonna walk back to New York City. Like, and then she like falls asleep, and then she like wakes up, and he's not there, and she freaks out and whatever, and she cry, you know, just all this stuff, and
Another great
you know
quote.
it, yeah. But like, yeah, their relationship is really central to the movie for the most part, and like Mike is sort of like kind of like a slightly better but still bad influence
Bad,
than
but
her
better.
boyfriend. Maybe like it's still like really like not a good influence because
Still
he's like
doing
a criminal.
drugs and
He's a drug dealer. He's a
alcohol.
drug. He does drugs and he's a drug dealer.
Not even that good of a drug dealer because he doesn't make very much money.
It doesn't seem like he's like rich or anything like that. Like not even close. So, I
No.
mean, I guess he's addicted to drugs. So I mean, and like I think drinking as well is the ideas too. I like the another thing that's just kind of like in there for no reason and never follows up like towards the end is the guy at the beginning. Played by the rapper Necro, what's his name?
Yeah.
Scully. He's like kind of like another one of those guys who's like trying to like put her under his wing and try to help her or something like that. But she's totally unreceptive to him, and he's like he follows like her and like Mike around, and then they get into like a really big argument like on the sidewalk or whatever, and then he disappears.
You
You
never
know,
see
it's
him
just
again.
like people like they come and go, right? Like they're here today and they're gone tomorrow for whatever reason, right? Like so, and you know, New York City is probably a big enough city that you can kind of like retreat here and there and probably not know where they went or or even have any idea, like, or even have any idea where they went, because again, like, it's just such a big city. So that feels true to life as well, even if, like, it's like, well, what happened to that guy? Whatever,
Yeah, I really like that character. And again, it's someone who is tr legitimately trying to help her in some way, in his own way, even though it's very flawed because he's still offering to get her alcohol and all this shit. But just like everyone else, he fails, and everyone fails to help her in the end. She ends up going back to just exactly where she started.
There's
There's
never anyone like, and there's never a character in the movie that is like shakes her around like you would expect from these movies, and they're just like, look, you are addicted to drugs, you need to go to rehab and get off of them so you can, like, live and have, like, a good, like, fulfilling life. The only, like, thing that she, the only pep talk she gets is from Mike when he's, like, kind of, like, talk, gives her that, like, speech about, like basically telling her that, like, you need to be, like, you need more self-respect, right? Like,
Yeah.
Ilya, like, he's a dangerous, fucked up guy. Like, you shouldn't be around him. He's destructive. And because, and the, like, the speech they have after they fight each other in the park where they roll around on the ground and he, like, throws, like, the ninja star at his hand, like, the,
I did not see
right?
that coming.
I didn't see that coming either. That was very, very funny. Stuff like that is just, like, funny.
You know, it reminded me of that moment in a movie we
Oh,
watched a long time ago. Maybe it's been like a year and a half now. It was probably one of the lowest budget films we ever watched. I'm trying to think of the name of that movie.
Deadbeat by Dawn.
Deadbeat at Dawn. Yeah.
Deadbeat at Dawn. Yeah.
Deadbeat.
Yeah, that's a good movie. And yeah, that movie also, that's a good point. That's a good funny thing. Yeah, like a, like, low budget kind of, like, even like the yeah, that's a good, like, a comparison to make. There are a lot of movies like Deadbeat at Dawn, right, that were made at the time that the Safdie brothers probably love, right? They probably venerate that kind of, like, low budget kind of, like, greasy, movies from, like, the 70s and 80s that are, like, kind of, ultra violent and, use, but use, like, real, like, special effects and stuff like that that look a little rough around the edges and stuff. So, I feel that, that's probably, that's a good, you're probably not too far off.
Gosh, those every time you see blood in this film, or when Emily was laughing because you see them a couple of times put those needles in their skin and like, get high. I don't know what it is about seeing people put needles in their bodies in movies. I can see it in real life. I mean, going to like a blood drive or getting my own blood drawn,
Yeah,
shots,
when
like that
people do
kind
it
of
in
stuff.
movies,
So
when
I
people
don't.
do heroin in movies and you see it do it, it's like,
It's fucking terrifying.
have you ever, there's a, the band The Flaming Lips?
Yeah.
The guitar player, there's a documentary I watched several years ago about The Flaming Lips. I forget what it was called. It was like, it's kind of like, the documentary is probably, like, now over 10, 15 years old now. And the guitar player of the band, the longtime guitar player, he was horrendously addicted to heroin. And they have a whole scene where he's, like, being interviewed about it and he's, like, doing it. So, like, he's preparing,
Right.
like, his arm and everything in the needle, and you see him on camera in the movie actually do it. I'll never forget that scene. I barely remember anything else about that movie except for that scene, because it's just so, like, so yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah, I agree. Like, I for some reason I get a chill when someone does heroin, because it's just so, like, I agree with you. It's just kind of, it's kind of hard to watch. I don't know why.
That heroin must just be like the greatest high, because I cannot,
No, it is, right? Like, that's the
it's
point.
gotta be. Because I cannot fathom wanting to do that to yourself. It's gotta be.
It's just really that great. It's just
It
really
must
that
be.
sweet, probably better than any other thing,
Yeah,
so
this podcast is brought to you by heroin.
heroin, yeah, we love it. Yeah, and that's pretty much, yeah, the movie. And the movie is, I think, again, like, everybody looks convincingly homeless and dirty, near, in New York City. And there's that one scene too where, like, Ilya is, like, he has, like, a drug overdose in, like, the McDonald's bathroom. Again, they're just, like, the locations that they go to just feel so dirty and true to life, like the McDonald's bathroom,
Like fucking
the,
gross New York City.
Yeah, like
best.
it's just like the worst like places like to go and to live and go in like New York City. Like I think she goes into a bathroom like towards the beginning to shoot up, right? Like at a Starbucks or something like that. Like
They
you
go to
know,
a
like
White
the
Castle at some point.
oh yeah, they're at the White Castle. I wonder, you know what? We were talking about the psych ward, like if it's the same as the one in Good Time. I wonder if that's the same White Castle they go to in Good Time as well.
It's gotta be.
I wonder if it is. They don't go inside of it in Good Time. They're just outside of it. But yeah, I wonder if it's
Interesting.
the same one.
Wow.
Yeah, the White Castle looks gross as fuck. Like they have like a confrontation with
Remember
a guy there and he's like throwing
that
money
poor White
everywhere.
Castle worker? You guys make it like $8 an hour. He's like, please, please fucking leave.
Please leave. And they're just and Mike, you know, he's just again like the movie feels like something is gonna happen. Somebody obviously Ilya dies at the end, you know, spoilers, but I feel like oh, somebody's gonna get arrested or somebody's gonna get like
Yeah.
fucked up really badly, but nothing like that really happens.
No. No, in the end, other than Ilya, everyone just ends up being
The
exactly what
same. Yeah, everybody's the
in the
same. And
movie.
that's pretty much the confrontation, right? It's everybody doing the same thing over and over until you die, basically, right?
Yes. Well, I feel like we've started to ramble a little bit about the movie, or we've gone in a lot of different directions, but should we sort of give our final thoughts on this piece?
If you think that would be best, yeah.
Okay. I mean, we can keep talking. I'll talk all day about
If you think, I mean, if you think that we have reached a conclusion, then maybe it would be best. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's just like life, you know? Sometimes it just
Yeah.
ends. There's no logic, there's no
Yeah.
reason.
There's no logic. It just, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. All
All right. You go first this time. I think I went first last time.
right. Yeah. I like the movie a lot. I think it's really, really good. You know, if we're talking like Safdie Brothers, like directorial features, for me, my ranking goes Good Time, Uncut Gems, Daddy Long Legs, Heaven Knows What. I like Heaven Knows What a lot. And I think like if anyone making this movie, if all they did was make this movie, it would be a huge accomplishment, right? Because it's such like a dirty, nasty, kind of like in the dumps movie about heroin addiction. Great. It looks great for the most part. I think like the looks of their movies like get better. I think
Yeah.
Good Time looks much better. I think their use of music gets even more is more striking in their later movies as well. Obviously they get bigger names too. But I still really like the movie. Like it's great. It's again, it's dirty, it's dank. You know, you know, you have you like you said, you know, you might have like certain expectations about it and those aren't reached. I think that's fine and good. And yeah, you know, again, I recommend it. I think it's like a good like New York City movie just in terms of like if you want to see like a movie in which like people just like walk and hang out on the streets of New York City and in McDonald's bathrooms and at White Castle and at parks and stuff. Like it's very unglamorous, which I think is good. Sometimes you need to watch something that's just very not glamorous at all and very true to life. So yeah, I would give it a very, very, very positive like 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the same boat with a lot of that stuff. Same with the rankings too. The only one I haven't seen is Daddy Long Legs, but same thing. Good Time, Uncut Gems, and then Heaven Knows What is definitely third on my Safdie Brothers list. It's still a very well-made film, and I do complain a lot in this film about the idea that there isn't really any thing pushing them forward, which does bother me about the piece, but I also understand that that's sort of kind of the thing that they're doing here. They're
The drug addiction itself
purposefully
is, yeah.
making this addiction w cycle where there is no end, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. And I completely understand that, but I think that can make the film not as strong as I think it could be. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that at the end of this film, they are cured of their drug overdose or anything like that,
Yeah, I don't
but
want
just
that either.
something that's pushing them forward, some sort of pushing force behind Haley or any of our characters here. And yet, despite that, despite the fact that there really is no overarching plot here, despite the fact that's really just a combination of seemingly random scenes, the movie moves at a really fast pace and you feel it. I mean, I never once for a single second felt bored in this film. I mean, I was just entranced by every second of this film. So I think in that way, it really does succeed, as all of Safdie Brothers' films have
Yeah.
succeeded that way. So I'm going to give it a low ish 8 out of 10.
Maybe like just before we like cap off, maybe like they're going through like the letters and stuff like that, and they find the Banana Republic gift card. Maybe they
Yeah.
could do something even crazier, like maybe to add to like the tension or conflict, where they like open a piece of mail and like there's something even crazier, like a
That's what I
lot
thought was
of
going to
money.
happen. I thought that
Like I
was.
thought that's what I thought was going to happen too. Like they find like a bunch of money in there, or they find this, or they find that, like something like that would really kind of
Yeah.
like maybe get the plot of the movie going. But then again, because it's based off Errol Holmes's memoir, most
Right.
likely, the best possible, like the movie, again reflects what was probably the best possible thing to find out of that, which was a $500 gift card to Banana Republic. So yeah.
All right, y'all. Thank you for listening. You can find everything I do at Austin Lugo.
Yeah, I'm on Letterboxd at Retro Andrew, RETR0 Andrew.
And you can find this podcast wherever you hear podcasts. You can also find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at With Nothing to Say. And thank you all for listening.
Thanks.